Thanks, Matt. You can see up there on the screen, eventually you're going to make your way to Joshua this morning, Joshua chapter 4. Now, thank you for being here. I know Memorial Day weekend, often people are traveling, and maybe even some of you are here this morning and you aren't normally here in Altoona during this week. Thank you for coming and worshiping with us this weekend. Memorial Day is a time of remembering those that gave, like Darren said, the ultimate sacrifice for our freedoms. We hang flags all over in remembrance, and that's a good thing. And just recently, I did a funeral for Tammy Wyand's dad, and the VFW and the Honor Guard and a couple Marines did their folding of the flag ceremony, firing shots in honor of his service. They left the family a flag in memory. It's a beautiful thing. These memorials are important, are they not? We ought to never forget the sacrifice. Some memories bring sadness, don't they? Some memories of our lives bring joy. Every once in a while, my family, my kids and I and Laura, we'll sit on our bed. It's been a little while. That's a safe place. You should see my stress level just goes down. But we'd sit on our bed and look at old photo albums. I know today most people scroll through Instagram and photos, but me and Laura are old school. We still have photo albums. And we love looking at them. The kids actually love looking at them. They love looking at themselves, how young they were. We laugh. Oftentimes, Laura and I will realize, man, they're still young. It wasn't that long ago when they were little. Some of these memories in these photos are so good. Some pictures are hard to look at. In my life, there are photos of people that we've lost over the years. Parents, family, friends. Our spiritual lives, by the way, are made up of memories as well. Moments in time. The scripture talks about it. For example, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul reminds them of a day when you asked Jesus to save you from your sins. Paul writes, working together with him, meaning Jesus, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain, for he says, in a favorable time, I listened to you, and in the day of salvation, I helped you. Behold, the favorable time is now. Now is the day of your salvation. The day, maybe you don't exactly remember the day or the month or the year, but there was a time when you understood the truth of the gospel, that Jesus died for your sins. He rose from the grave, victorious over our greatest of enemies. Do you remember? Maybe not just your salvation day, but maybe you remember certain trials that God brought you through. Just talked to a lady today talking about trials and God's presence in them. I remember a woman my wife was counseling whose husband committed adultery. This was a tough trial that she went through. This couple is still together. Years later, she would tell my wife, I missed how close I was to the Lord during that time. How do we keep those spiritual memories in our heart? The good things that we have learned about ourselves and about the character of God. Memorials of remembrance are good to a forgetful people, and that we are. There's a story in Joshua that I want us to consider this morning on this Memorial Day weekend. I think God tells us something about the importance of memorials. So go and follow along with me in Joshua chapter 4. God's word says this: when all the nation had finished passing over the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, take 12 men from the people from each tribe of man and command them, saying, take 12 stones from here, out of the midst of the Jordan, from the very place where the priest's feet stood firmly, and bring them over with you and lay them down in the place where you lodge tonight. Then Joshua called the 12 men from the people of Israel, whom he had appointed, a man from each tribe. And Joshua said to them, pass on before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take up each of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the people of Israel, that this may be a sign among you. When your children ask you in the time to come, what do these stones mean? Then you shall teach them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever. And the people of Israel did just as Joshua commanded, and took up the 12 stones out of the midst of the Jordan, according to the number of the tribes of the people of Israel, just as the Lord had told Joshua. And they carried them over with them to the place where they lodged and laid them down there. Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan in the place where the feet of the priest bearing the ark of the covenant had stood, and they there are there to this day. For the priest bearing the ark stood in the midst of the Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord commanded Joshua to tell the people, according to all that Moses had commanded Joshua. The people passed over in haste. And when all the people had finished passing over, the ark of the Lord and the priest passed over before the people. The sons of Reuben and the sons of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh passed over, armed for the people of Israel as Moses had told them. About 40,000 ready for war passed over before the Lord for battle to the plains of Jericho. And on that day the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of Israel, and they stood in awe of him, just as they stood in awe of Moses all the days of his life. And the Lord said to Joshua, command the priests bearing the ark of the testimony to come up out of the Jordan. So Joshua commanded the priests, come out of the Jordan. And when the priests bearing the ark of the covenant of the Lord came out of the midst of the Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet were lifted onto dry ground, the waters of the Jordan returned to its place and overflowed its banks as before. The people came out of the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and they encamped in Gilgah on the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua set up in Gilgal. And he said to the people of Israel, when your children ask their fathers in times to come, what do these stones mean? Then you shall let your children know. Israel passed over this Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan for you until you passed over. And the Lord your God did as he did for the Red Sea, which he dried up for us until we passed over, so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. The context is, again, these Israelites were wandering in the desert for over 40 years because of their disobedience. In this time of 40 years, the Israelites had experienced the power of God, rolling back the waters of the Red Sea with Moses. And as they come to the forefront of the Jordan, on the other side was the Promised Land. They would face a trial. So how is God going to help them remember this time? Well, the first thing I see is that God uses literal stones, physical objects, inanimate objects. Look at the passage again. Take 12 stones, verses 5 and 6. Go to verses 5 and 6. Take up each of you a stone on his shoulder, that this might be a sign to you. Then verse 20. Those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan. In this passage, literal stones were placed first in the middle of the Jordan, and then, on the other side when they would pass. They carried these stones on their shoulders. I think I carried one this weekend down 3 flights of stairs. Those of you who move, you know what you know. But these very large stones, they were large because you could still see them in the river as they passed. So let me explain why God wanted them to remember this time. See, the Lord had instructed Joshua to send the Ark of the Covenant first, to pass the Jordan. Why is this? Because the Ark symbolizes the presence of God. And so God has to go before you as he goes through the Jordan, as we go through, or the Israelites go through this trial. The passage in Joshua indicates that the river was in flood stage. In other words, it was a crazy time, the flood stage of the Jordan. Oftentimes it would go over the sides of the banks. It would flood everything near it. It was a scary place to be during flood stage, as trials can be in our lives. But during these trials, Israel had to see on the other side is the Promised Land. Will you go through this trial? You've just spent 40 years in wilderness because of your disobedience. We're coming to the Jordan during the flood stage, and I'm telling you, we're crossing. Will you go? So he made the Levites step in the water first, before the river would split. The Levites lifted the ark on their shoulders and they stepped into the river. the passage describes the river would just roll back as far, chapter 3 says it rolled back as far as the city of Adam, whatever that means. Adam is a little city to the north of the Dead Sea. The purpose is this river was separated so far that a group of people so large could pass through this river. So God used literal stones so that they would never forget. Do what God says, and He will be with you. Don't look at the circumstances. Don't look at the flood banks. Just put your eyes on me. God used literal stones of remembrance for the nation of Israel to remind them to do what God says is always a good thing. By the way, in the New Testament, Peter experienced this too. In Matthew chapter 14, we read about when the disciples were in a boat from land and their boat was being beaten by waves. And in the fourth watch, that's early in the morning, it's dark, the waves are crashing. Jesus came to them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. Is it a ghost? They cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come out to you in the water." And Jesus said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on water and came to Jesus. For Israel, them crossing over the Jordan, for Peter, but specifically for Israel, the idea is, the crossing over the Jordan signified their past rebellion, 40 years of wandering in the wilderness because of their disobedience, but then stepping into the Jordan is like turning from their sin and trusting the Lord. As Christ followers, we have physical objects for us too, of these crossover moments, these stones of remembrance, of days when we repented of our sins, and specifically at the day of salvation when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. These stones of remembrance in the New Testament are called communion. They're called baptism. When you're a follower of Christ, when you place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, He tells you to identify with Him in the waters of baptism. Why? Baptism doesn't save you. But because we're forgetful, we need a reminder of what Jesus did for us. That's what baptism is. It's a stone of remembrance. Communion. For us, once a month, on June 7th, we'll have the very thing. I love that also, is that we're going to be doing that. Good reminder. We'll start out our first service with communion. What a great reminder. For the follower of Jesus Christ, it is a stone of remembrance of what the gospel means to us daily. In the New Testament, actually in Acts, they talked about every time they gathered together, they would do the Lord's table. Because we're forgetful. We need these stones of reminders. By the way, in communion, remember, Jesus said it's exactly what this table would be. When He took the physical element, the bread, inanimate object. He said, do this in remembrance of me. So apart from these two physical reminders, and apart from the literal stones that he told the Jews, the Hebrews, to use, what reminders do you have? What reminders do you have in place in your home, maybe in your office, maybe in your car, that remind you of these personal experiences with God? How God was present during a time of trial. Not an idol or a statue to worship, but reminders. Every single Bible that I've ever got, I put November 2nd, 2001. Those of you who've been at High Point Church for any length of time, you know what that date is. It's the date that I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I don't ever want to forget, every time I open my Bible, the reason I can even understand what it says is because Jesus saved me. What reminders do you have? I have a verse tattooed on my body, and I'm not telling you to get a tattoo, so relax, parents. But I have this as a reminder. Cross out my I, my ego. It's got to go. For I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live for the Son of God who died for me. You can steal that verse and put it on yourself. It's not mine. But I own that verse. He crossed out my eye. And I am forever grateful. I have a picture of the guy who led me to the Lord on my desk as a reminder to share the gospel. If it wasn't for this guy pestering me, calling on a rotary phone, and Laura answering and saying, and I'm like, Laura, I know it's this guy. He always calls at 4 o'clock. She picks up the phone and says, yeah, you can come over for Bible study. Praise God. We took this picture. That is me, by the way. I'm a lot. That was last year. Dang, look at that shirt. What a slob. That's how you used to wear them back in 2001. But this picture was taken shortly after I told Chuck that I had put my faith and trust in the Lord. I wear a ring on my finger, a reminder of the covenant that I made with God and with my wife. This ring is a reminder that our marriage is a picture of the gospel to anybody who would look. I have a picture of the first public service. These are fresh memories now as we move into a building. This was our first public service. Apart from meeting in my house, we met for a couple weeks at the Holiday Inn Express. This is in February of 2012. We are forgetful people. God gave us physical symbols as a spiritual reminder, like a cross. But God didn't just use physical stones to help the people remember. The second thing I want you to see in regards to God helping us to remember. Not only does he use literal stones, but he uses living stones. Not just inanimate objects. God uses people. Living reminders. Living stones. In our passage, for example, God used a man named Joshua. Look at the passage again. When all the nation had finished passing over the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "You're my example." But then also he says, "Take 12 men. They will be an example from each tribe." In verse 10 and 11. Then the priest who will carry the Ark of the Covenant will be a living example of the presence of God. And then in verse 11, all the people that will pass over the Jordan will be an example. Everyone who experiences God's blessing is a living stone. These individuals, these people, are reminders to all people of God's goodness, his mercy. People, living, breathing, God-saved people. These people did what God said, and they experienced the blessing of God's work. And by the way, this was a testimony of the Hebrew people. To any unbelieving pagan nation that were watching, both those that passed the Red Sea with Moses and now these who would pass through the Jordan. How do I know that they were a testimony? Well, because the word in Hebrew, it comes from the verb meaning crossed over. In other words, their very name, Hebrew, the Hebrews, is a testimony of them crossing over the Red Sea and the Jordan. The pagan nations surrounding Israel would call them Hebrews in a derogatory way. In other words, it'd be like this. Oh yeah, those are those crossed over people. The Hebrews. This wasn't something that they were saying in a nice way. The Israelites identified with God's provision and they were proud of this name, but other people made fun of them. This is true of Christian as well. In Acts, we read that unbelievers called followers of Christ the people of the way. Acts chapter 9, and asked him for letters to the synagogues, this is Paul, so that if any found belonging to the way, this wasn't a good term. The idea is those people that believe that Jesus is the only way. You know, like what he said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So they were called the way as a derogatory term. Oh, those people of the way. Look at verse 19, or chapter 19. But when some people, stubborn and continued in unbelief, speaking evil of the way. We also see that they were first called Christians in Acts chapter 11. And when they had found him, he brought him to Antioch. For the whole year, they met in the church and taught a great many people. And in Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians. By the way, that wasn't a good term. The idea of being called a Christian is, you know, those people that associate with this guy named Jesus Christ. The idea here is, Hebrew and Christian is an identity of what God has done for us. And there are lots of people who make fun of us. But that's okay. We testify. We testify as living stones that Jesus changed our lives. That we've crossed over from death into life. We see in Joshua, by the way, that this was a testimony to these pagan nations. Look at Joshua chapter 5. It says, as soon as all the kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan to the west and all the kings of the Canaanites who were by the sea heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of the Jordan for the people of Israel until they had crossed over, their hearts melted. And there was no longer any spirit in them because of the people of Israel. Do you see what kind of testimony we can be? Living stones. By the way, that's exactly what Peter calls a Christ follower. He writes in 1 Peter, he says, as you come to him, a living stone, rejected by men, but in sight of God, chosen and precious. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be holy, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. The whole letter of Peter is about being a testimony to an unbelieving world of what God has done for us. We are these living stones. See, literal stones, they're good, but they can't talk. And we should. Look at what Joshua tells these living stones to do. Joshua chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, he says, look, those stones, they can't talk. So when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? You tell them. Again, at the end of chapter 4, verse 20 and 22. And those 12 stones, again, they're not going to talk. Good reminders. I want them, but they ain't talking. He said to the people of Israel, when your children ask their fathers in times to come, what do these stones mean? You should let your children know. Israel passed over the Jordan on dry ground. Living stones talk. Physical stones are reminders. So who are you telling? Listen to what Solomon says in Proverbs chapter 10. The memory of the righteous is a blessing. We tell people what Jesus has done. I know some of you are saying, well, I don't have a good memory. Well, I got a verse for you too. Jesus said, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Praise God. A short-term memory, people. What a shame. What a shame when living stones don't talk. Look at Joshua chapter 4, verse 24. I'm reading it and studying it thousands of years after it took place, and it reminds me of God's goodness. That's what this verse says. So that all the peoples of the earth may know. That's me. I know God is good. Remember during Jesus' triumphal entry? As he was going into Jerusalem, he was riding on a donkey. Everyone is praising Jesus, saying, "Hosanna! Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." But the religious leaders, they didn't like it. They didn't like what the people were saying about Jesus. Remember what Jesus said? Look at Luke 19, verse 40. He says, "If I were to tell these people to be silent, even the inanimate objects would cry out." Here's the thing, my brothers and sisters in Christ. Don't leave it to literal stones to cry out for you. Be a living stone that shares the great news. So a couple applications from our passage in Joshua. Do you have reminders? Do you have reminders that surround you during the day of God's work in your life? Physical reminders. Maybe a verse on a wall. Maybe in your car. Maybe in your office. Maybe a journal. A date. A reminder to an answer of prayer I keep in my Bible. It's kind of ragged. But when Jesus, subjectively, I didn't hear his voice, but when I was being asked to plant a church by Pastor Pat and Pastor Dave, I said no. And they said, "Well, why don't you pray about it?" So I did. I prayed and I fasted. And I asked God, like Gideon, I guess, with a fleece. Said, I'm not going to do this unless I know, Lord, that you're in it. And there are several things that I needed to hear from the Lord. This is subjective, but the number one thing I wrote in here is, I need confirmation of the ministry that God has placed in my life. What does that mean? I wanted people to tell me, "I can see God using you to plant a church." Well, within those weeks, I had several individuals, and I wrote their names down. I wanted confirmation in God's word. And there are several verses that I came to in my own personal devotions in Ephesians chapter 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. All of these verses as if God was saying, "Go, Greg. Step in the water, and I will part the sea. Don't worry about the flooding. Just set your eyes on me and do what I say." The last one, I wanted confirmation from my wife. I needed 100% support from Laura. And so she didn't know what was happening, but I asked her, I said, "What do you think about planting a church?" She goes, "I will go wherever God leads you." What is God asking you to do? What physical reminders do you have? Because you know why I wrote this down? Pastor Lucas, who is actually supposed to be preaching today, he's walking through a trial himself. But Pastor Lucas was from Sailorville, and he asked me when he heard I might plant a church. He said, "Greg, how do you know? How do you know you're the guy for this calling?" I said, "Well, I got confirmation from my leaders, my pastors. I have confirmation from God's word, and I have confirmation from my wife." He said, "Wow, those are good. Write them down. Because there will be days to come when you're going to want to quit. There will be hard days to come when you're going to want to go sell insurance. and you need to get this letter back out. This is why. This is like in one of my, like, three Bibles ago. But I still keep it in the most recent Bible that I get, which this one's kind of falling apart too. But Charles Spurgeon said, a Bible that's fallen apart is usually held by someone's not. Praise God. Anyway, that wasn't in my notes, guys. You need these reminders because we are forgetful. Start writing things down. And then the last, again, the application. Are you a witness of those reminders? Are you telling somebody? Or do you just have a bunch of trinkets and dates and not telling anybody about them? We have to talk. We have to share so that people can know that we have a good God. This Memorial Day, consider why we have this day. It is a day to remember the ultimate sacrifices of those that had their lives taken from them for our freedoms. They paid the ultimate price. But this Memorial Day, maybe it can also remind us of His ultimate sacrifice. Our Savior, Jesus Christ, He died so that we might be free from the condemnation of our sin. He freed us from our enemies, sin, Satan, and death. Remember His death was for us. And He lives today to make intercession for us. Have you put your faith and trust in Him? Maybe today is the day of your salvation. Let's pray. Gracious and Heavenly Father, I thank You for this reminder on Memorial Day that, God, You give us memorials, reminders. And God, as we remember Your goodness in our life, may we be a testimony, a living stone, and share of Your goodness with as many people as we can. God, thank You for the many reminders that You've placed in my life of Your goodness to me. May You get all the glory, for it's in Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
Please stand and we sing a final song.